Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
Have you ever had one of those days, or maybe one of those weeks, where everything just feels a little too loud, a little too fast? The notifications, the deadlines, the constant hum of digital noise.
Oh, I know that feeling all too well. For me, it was a few years back. I was completely fried, just running on empty. And I remember standing in my tiny, neglected backyard, staring at this patch of weeds, and feeling this sudden, overwhelming urge to just dig, to put my hands in the dirt.
And that's it, isn't it? That's the impulse. It's this deep, almost primal need to connect with something tangible, something real. And that feeling is exactly what we're here to explore today.
Yeah, it's not just about growing flowers or vegetables, as wonderful as that is. It's about what happens to us when we do it. It's about cultivating wellness, right from the ground up.
Precisely. We're calling it mindful gardening, and we're going to delve into this incredible intersection of mindfulness, physical movement, and our connection to the natural world.
We'll be looking at the science behind why getting your hands dirty can genuinely improve your mental health. And we'll be sharing some really practical ways to bring this practice into your own life, even if you don't have a backyard.
So, the question we're going to be asking throughout our conversation is this: what if one of the most powerful tools for our well-being isn't in a pharmacy or on an app, but is waiting right outside our door, buried in the soil?
I'm really looking forward to digging into that. Let's get started.
So when we talk about what's waiting in the soil, it's more than just a metaphor for getting back to basics. There's actually a fascinating body of research and practice around this. It's often called horticultural therapy.
Horticultural therapy. Huh, that sounds so formal, almost clinical. I always just pictured it as a relaxing hobby, you know? Something my grandmother did.
And it is that. But that hobby, that simple act, has been structured into recognized therapeutic models. It's generally broken down into a few distinct approaches, depending on the goal.
Okay. So it's not just one size fits all. What kind of approaches are we talking about?
Well, some programs are vocational, designed to teach job skills. But the one that really connects to what we were just saying, that feeling of being overwhelmed and needing restoration, is what's known as therapeutic horticultural therapy.
And that's focused more on recovery?
Exactly. On medical and illness recovery. It's built on this core idea that being in nature, interacting with it directly, has these deeply restorative properties for the brain.
I mean, that feels intuitively true. But is there science to back that up, beyond just a general feeling of calm?
Oh, there is, and it's quite compelling. For instance, there was a major review of research, a meta-analysis, that looked specifically at individuals with dementia.
With dementia? Wow. Okay, I'm listening.
They compared horticultural therapy activities to both usual care and other non-pharmacological interventions. And they found that participating in these gardening activities appeared to measurably improve cognitive functioning.
You're kidding! It actually improved their cognition? Not just their mood?
Their cognition, yes. And it also reduced agitation and increased engagement and positive emotions. We're talking about tangible, observable changes.
That's genuinely staggering. Because it's so simple. It's not a new drug or a complex machine. It's potting a plant. It makes you wonder what exactly is happening in the brain during that activity.
Well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Researchers believe it's a multi-layered effect. You have the gentle physical movement, which is crucial. You have the stimulation of the senses, the smell of damp earth, the feeling of a leaf.
The focus. You have to focus on what you're doing. But it's not a stressful, deadline-driven focus. It's gentle.
That's a perfect way to put it. It engages what psychologists sometimes call soft fascination, It holds your attention without demanding it, which allows the parts of your brain that are constantly on high alert to finally rest and recharge.
Soft fascination. I love that. It's the opposite of staring at a screen. It's not draining you, it's refilling you. That simple act of caring for something else, something living, seems to recalibrate our own system.
And that word you used, recalibrate, is so perfect. Because it's not just a psychological recalibration, it's happening on a much more fundamental, biological level. We've been talking about the brain, but what about the rest of the body?
The immune system? How does that even connect? I mean, unless you're talking about getting a bit of a tan and some vitamin D.
It's much more direct than that. It goes back to the soil itself, the dirt. It is teeming with microbial life, and for most of human history, we were in constant contact with it.
Right. We weren't living in such sanitized boxes.
Exactly. And there's a specific bacterium that researchers have been studying, found in common soil, called Mycobacterium vacae.
Okay, that sounds slightly less pleasant than soft fascination. What does it do?
Well, this is the amazing part. When this microbe enters our system, either through inhalation while you're digging or through small cuts on your hands, it appears to trigger the release of serotonin in the brain.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me that there's a bacterium in the dirt that acts like a natural antidepressant?
That's what the evidence points to. It essentially boosts our mood and decreases anxiety by interacting with our immune system, which in turn communicates with the brain. It's this incredible ancient pathway that we've largely cut ourselves off from.
That is mind-blowing. So when I had that urge to just put my hands in the dirt, my body might have been craving something it was missing. On a microbial level,
it's a very real possibility. It's part of a broader idea called the hygiene hypothesis, the theory that our overly sterile environments have deprived our immune systems of the training they need, which can lead to a rise in allergies, autoimmune issues, and, potentially, mood disorders.
Wow. So it's not just about the mental act of focusing on a plant. It's a physical, chemical exchange. You're literally absorbing wellness from the earth.
You are. And it reframes the whole experience, doesn't it? That feeling of soil under your fingernails isn't just getting dirty. It's reestablishing a connection. It's a form of communication with this vast, living ecosystem that we're a part of, but have forgotten.
It really does. I'm thinking about all the times I've meticulously washed my hands immediately after. Like, I was getting rid of something bad. But maybe I was just washing away the good stuff.
It's a balance, of course. But yes, that perspective shift is huge. It's not just a sterile medium for holding roots. The soil is alive, and it seems to want to help us be alive and well, too.
This adds a whole new layer to it for me. It's one thing to think, oh, this is relaxing. It's another thing entirely to think, my body is having a beneficial biological reaction to this environment. It makes the simple act of weeding feel profound.
It is profound. And I think that's the biggest shift for me, looking back on our whole conversation. We started with this idea of gardening as an escape, a way to quiet the noise. But where we've landed is, it's not an escape at all. It's a return.
A return. Yeah. It's not about checking out. It's about checking in with something more fundamental. But I can't help but think about the person listening to this, who lives on the 15th floor of an apartment building. Does this mean they're cut off from this biological gift?
That's such an important question. And I really don't think so, because the principle holds even on a small scale. It's about the intentional act of nurturing life. A pot of basil on a windowsill, a small container of mint, you still have the soil, you still have that microbial exchange, even if it's just a handful.
And you still have the soft fascination. You still have the sensory experience of watering it,
of smelling the leaves.
The scale of the garden doesn't seem to be the point. It's the existence of it.
It's the existence of the relationship. That you are caring for something, and in a very real, tangible way, it is caring for you right back. That's the core of it. It's not about acreage, it's about attention.
I think my final thought, then, is one of permission. Permission to start small. Permission for it to be imperfect. You don't need a master plan. Just get a pot, get some soil, and put a seed in it. See what happens. The profound part will find you.
And for me, it's a feeling of hope, I think. In a world that feels so disconnected, so digital, knowing this ancient biological connection is right there, waiting in the soil, it's a powerful reminder that we are part of something so much bigger. We just have to remember to reach out and touch it.
A beautiful way to put it. Well, I feel like I need to go find a plant to pot immediately.
I think that's the best possible outcome. Thank you, as always, for digging into this with me.
It's been a pleasure. To everyone listening, we hope this conversation has planted a seed or two. Until next time, may you find a little bit of peace right there in the dirt.